This year's campaign is focused on the theme of land rights. And if anyone has seen the box, they'll notice that there's three stories on the box this year from three different countries. So we have Uganda, Guatemala and Lebanon. And what these stories show are the three different faces of communities who are evicted from land and thrown off land and really have no access to basic natural resources. So the Guatemalan family have been evicted from their land by big business and kind of corporate interests who take over the land and use it for major plantations, major sugarcane plantations or palm oil plantations, and really leave indigenous people in Guatemala with nowhere to live. In Lebanon, the family is a Syrian family who has fled Syria because of the war and is now living in very poor conditions in Lebanon. And really, they have no idea whether they'll ever be able to return home. They don't even know if their home still stands or whether they can ever access it ever again. So they're left in this horrible limbo situation that they've been in for the last nearly 9 years at this stage. And then finally, in Uganda, we have a family who have lost a lot of their land for the simple reason of their gender. And it's because the husband in the family died. And when he died, he left his widow and children. And women don't have as much legal right to land in Uganda. And so they gradually found that they were losing more and more land. Other family members were essentially taking it off them and leaving them with really nowhere to go. So there are three different stories, but all with a very similar theme running through them. And that is people's right to land, to homes. And these are basic things that people need in order to develop and to lift themselves further out of poverty.
They're things, I suppose, that we take for granted, but that idea that you could lose your land almost at a whim because some plantation company came in or some large-scale company came in or because you were the wrong gender or whatever, you know, it's quite shocking to think that that's still happening in today's world.
It is, and I think it's a campaign that will resonate with people here. Historically, obviously, there's parallels. You know, I think it'll evoke memories of you know, the Land League and things like that from our own history. So I think people will connect with it and will understand. You know, it's always said Irish people have a very strong connection with the land, probably because of our own history. So I think people will resonate with that, and I think people will instinctively understand the importance of land and a home, and you know, that sense that if you don't have that, I mean, if you take the Ugandan family, for example, they are losing their land, and that means that they have less and less land to farm. They're farming people. And the mother says that, you know, she worries that if they continue to lose land, that she simply won't be able to feed her children anymore. It's that serious for them. And I suppose it shows that if you don't have the land and if you don't have access to land, you can't lift yourselves out of poverty, and in fact you fall further into it.
The first example you gave of companies coming in and growing sugarcane or growing probably coffee or, you know, those big cash crops and moving people away from their land, they're things that are commonly purchased in the West, I suppose. So, you know, are we complicit, or, you know, is there a sense that people can't see it and out of sight, out of mind, and we don't maybe really know the true cost of some of the things that we're buying?
Yeah, that's definitely true. The goods that are produced in a lot of this land are being produced for the international market. And a lot of times they're being produced by international companies as well. So typically what can happen in somewhere like Guatemala is that international companies, be they from Europe or North America, can come in, can essentially take over land. And the reason why they can do that is that these are indigenous people, so they're Mayan communities that we work with. And the Mayan communities have a long history of discrimination in countries like Guatemala, Honduras, you know, really throughout Central America. And they lack legal title to land. And so the land that they have always existed on, they don't actually, in many cases, have legal documents to it. And so the land can simply be taken from them. One of the ways that we try and help them, and we try and help them with basic support when they are evicted, such as, you know, housing and food and water and what have you. But in the long term, what we're trying to do is get them that legal title to land. We've been successful with a lot of communities in Guatemala who we've managed to get them that sort of treasured piece of paper that they can hold and say, we now own this and you can't take it from us. When you win, it can be final, and that gives them that long-term protection. It can take a very long time. The community that that feature on the box were evicted from this land in 2011. They moved and they found another area, but it wasn't as fertile, and they really struggled on it. They couldn't grow enough crops. The family members are talking about how they lost so much weight simply because they just weren't eating. So they returned to the land that they were evicted from. They really live in fear every day of bulldozers arriving. And when the evictions happen, they're extremely violent. It's army, police, private security can arrive in the dead of night, burn absolutely everything, destroy the houses, destroy the crops, and force them to leave. And the violence that's inflicted against them can be really shocking. A lot of the people we work with in Central America are human rights defenders who defend these communities. And they're under constant threat of violence for what they do. You know, whether it's trying to protect people's access to land or trying to protect, you know, for example, a river or a water source from pollution from a nearby company, they can be harassed, intimidated and murdered. And quite often they are murdered for standing up for people on the ground. And that's why, as part of this Lenten campaign, we're launching a campaign calling for a UN treaty on business and human rights, and we want the Irish government to support this bid that is being made by certain countries to have an overarching legal framework that actually governs how companies operate in these countries.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, would that make a difference? I mean, should it be down to customers to be aware of what's going on and boycott particular businesses, or should it be down to, as you say, the UN or various governing bodies to say, well, we're not going to accept this. There's going to be a certain international rule of law that all businesses must comply with.
Yeah, I mean, I think consumer action is really positive, and you know, it helps if we all have a bit of understanding about where goods are being produced. It's very difficult, though, and that's to be perfectly honest with you. Things like palm oil, there's been a lot of focus on palm oil and the negative environmental impact that's having, as well as the negative impact on communities who need access to the land. The challenge is that palm oil is in a lot of goods these days, and so it can be a real challenge for people to actually avoid it. So ultimately, I mean, yes, we need action at that level of people being kind of clued in and being conscious of what they're buying. But ultimately, we need governments to say, actually, you know, here are legal rules that companies have to abide by. And that way consumers and people like me and you who are buying these things can have confidence that these are produced ethically and that it's not having those negative impacts that we fear.
Yeah, and for Lent, I guess there's a heightened awareness around this, and this is why you have the Lenten boxes. So maybe just finish up by telling us what people can do in particular for Lent.
Yeah, well, the Lenten campaign is the most important moment of Troper's year. It really is the engine that drives our work for the rest of the year. We receive huge support around the country this time every year. The boxes have gone out to, almost a million boxes have gone out to, you know, schools, homes, parishes, businesses around the country. And the money that's donated this time of year really keeps our programs operating for the rest of the year. So it's a really important time. We'd encourage people to, if you have a box, read the stories, you know, learn a bit more about who we're supporting this year, and obviously do what you can to you know, put in those 20 cents and 50 cents that mightn't seem like a lot of money at the time, but actually when you add them up, you know, it really makes a huge difference. There's a lot of information about the campaign on our website, troker.org. So people can go on there and learn a bit more about these communities. There's also parish resources, schools resources. You know, there's a lot of extra material that people can use to learn a bit more and to engage with, whether at a parish level or in classrooms. And of course, people can donate on the website as well to support the campaign.